Jesus took the wheel for Mr. Magoo, and he helped to make Michael's meal service too. The Holy Ghost will inspire you. Even Kevin loves Jesus. He's our number one Jew. And Paul Derrick only dates guys named John. She filmed 10 in the sun. I bet she still looks hot with that bikini on. Whoa.
New media, the final frontier. These are the broadcasts of the Tomorrow Show. Its mission, to befriend fellow nocturnals, escapists, and dreamers. Not to mention angry loners, the socially inept, and those with Peter Pan syndrome. To boldly go where no broadcast has gone before. The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. Your overnight broadcast featuring one celebrity boyfriend's midlife crisis, millennials in Star Trek costumes, and so much more. The underdog's best friend. And all you need is a smartphone or access to the internet. Here's the captain of your tomorrow, Kevin Undergaro!
Welcome to the camp. I guess you all know.
Well, you guys, it's Monday. It's the Tomorrow Show. It's Super Bowl week. It's getting the Muslims out of this country week.
Every week is going to be getting the Muslims out of the country week.
It's going to be a lot of fun for some people.
And it might be Monday, but come on. It's Super Bowl week.
That's
every
right.
Day is Thursday.
And you know what? Every day, impetuity.
Impetuity.
We are powered by Corolla Drinks, so guess what's flowing in this studio? Endless Rant IPA and what is this other one? Mangria.
I've got the Endless Rant IPA right here.
I represent Christian.
Somebody accidentally opened it, and I was like, don't worry. I'll take care of it. We don't want this to go to waste.
Yeah, this was our big announcement, you guys. We are joining Team Corolla, Adam Corolla, the Guinness Book of World Records for downloading. Tomorrow's show is joining Corolla Digital and, of course, our friends over at Podcast One. And our duties is to bring the Romulan Ale. It's to bring the Corolla drinks to the rest of the galaxy. So,
if only they could introduce a Tranya, by the way, that would be amazing.
You know what? Now that we have an inside track.
I'll get on the phone with Corolla.
With Corolla drinks. Yeah, well, Adam's going to stop in. Wife Lynette will be stopping in. But yeah, it's just the beginning of next. It's probably phase two, Roxy Stryer over at the Tomorrow Show bar.
Yeah,
of the Tomorrow Show.
We're ready for phase two.
Phase two, powered by Corolla drinks. How does the Tomorrow Show bar, though, it holds up well?
Oh, yeah.
Plenty of room in the bar for Corolla drinks,
absolutely.
Right?
That's what we've been waiting for. We've been waiting for their drinks to fill up the bar.
And
here
now,
they've come.
Here they come. You know, it's funny. We our initial pitch to Adam months ago was all of us storming his studios in costume.
They did not know what to make of that. Their faces, when we walked in, there's a whole bunch of guys standing, and they were like, okay.
Adam rolled with it pretty good, though.
Yeah, he was smooth. He was really smooth. He didn't miss a beat.
You know, Sean, X-Pac Waltman, over at the Tomorrow Show bar, it's like Captain Lou. You can be right, you can be wrong, but you just can never be in doubt.
Exactly.
Right.
And especially when you're wearing a Star Trek costume.
Well, I
Kevin.
Just think, but even Captain Lou. If Captain Lou knew wearing the costume was going to get the job done, would he not wear the costume?
Yes.
Right?
Well, I mean, I'm it's kind of what I'm getting at. You better be all in.
Right.
When you're wearing the Star Trek costume or it's not going to work.
Or whatever you do it. Right? You know what I mean? So it's like we went in there and like what there was no blinking. There was no, it's like, no, this is what we do. This is the Tomorrow Show.
If you have any, like, hint of a thought in your head that you give a fuck if somebody thinks you're
any
stupid
doubt.
Looking in that
any
costume,
doubt.
You're fucked.
You're done. Well, it goes back to Spectre of the Gun, which I don't want to replay right now, but it's that Star Trek episode where they said, if you guys believe the bullets are real, you're dead. But if you don't, they'll pass right through you. Right, Lauren LaGrasso?
Absolutely, Kev.
Lauren, great opening.
Real. Oh, thanks, guys.
Great opening.
Yeah.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Oof. Wow. And good segue with Townsend, too, to take us in with this. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Jesus taking the wheel. We probably have to discuss that in more deeply.
We got to talk about it.
Because the follow-up, Sean was late. We went for drinks afterwards, me, Sean, and a friend of mine that was here. And Sean was actually late because he was nervous over guilt.
I wasn't nervous, but I was feeling...
What?
Say, shitty whatever. About there you go. Ridiculing... Okay. Which, Mike's faith while he's
oh here. No okay
we
no wait a
well,
second
well not Mike in particular
no
but
no you didn't put it to me just, that way I thought it was
it had,
we
okay
were
look I said Mike
Jesus
but, yes
and therefore Ashley Grace Daniels over at the social media bar you'll understand this where it's like you're afraid that they're gonna put the Jonah on you
mm-hmm,
you've
absolutely.
Heard of the Jonah right
yes I have
right
yes.
So when you're messing around with Jesus right you're yeah. rocks you say no we're so brainwashed that you immediately are like, you're waiting for that lightning bolt.
It's yeah, like voodoo,
absolutely.
Kev.
Right?
That's why I tried to, you know, the inner Catholic girl in me was just trying to fight everything that you guys were saying just so that I can not go to hell.
Jesus smites everybody who doesn't like Jesus?
No, we just don't want to risk it.
No, Jesus embraces the questioning.
So he's
but
happy with you,
you don't
then, John?
But he's got guys that
know.
Take care of things like that.
Right.
Like Sinatra had Jilly, who kind of took care of things.
Here's
Jesus
the
has
he
12 guys
who
handle things for him.
Do you want to know why?
I don't know if I want to know. I don't know.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you won't let me tell
no, I'm
you.
Saying go. No, just, go ahead.
Okay. I don't have a clue what Jesus thinks, okay, if he thinks anything. But just in case, it's always a pretty good idea, Cap, to hedge your bets. And why fuck with something that you don't have to fuck
no,
with?
No, that's the ultimate scam. No, I've thought of that, too. It's like, why not believe just in case? Okay, so if you don't believe
in God. It has nothing to do
God,
with believing. Just having a little bit of respect.
No, I think it is. I think if you respect it, then you do believe. You believe he's there.
No.
If you don't believe, according to mythology, this God is quite angry that you don't believe.
Yeah, but I'm not.
According to the mythology, and
I don't believe the mythology, though.
Okay, Kev. But you're make okay, Rock. So he's for an intelligent guy. He's contradicting himself.
I mean
right?
this. I mean this with absolutely zero disrespect, but haven't you and I both done things that Jesus would be way more upset with than potentially not believing in him?
Sure.
So don't you feel like he might overlook that one? Like he might be
no,
okay?
No, I know. That's not the point. That's not the point. I can feel bad for ridiculing and mocking something.
But
it's
don't
okay
we hedge our bets by just not doing the bad things?
I hedge my bets by being good to others.
Right,
by
exactly.
treating people.
Exactly.
Good.
That works
that's
for me.
That's you hedging
yeah.
your bets.
That works for me.
And
bet's
part head. Of that is, you know, trying not to offend if I don't have to. I will.
Agreed. Still with you. But okay. Just the question was if he takes the wheel, you know, like what, and I wanted to know what is Jesus taking the wheel? What is that? Like what, you know, and does that mean you just let go and, you know.
Let go, let God.
Isn't but what does that mean? Does that mean just not be proactive with your life? And you know what I mean? That in the
I think that's
and it
what
goes
it means.
Back to the Shawn Michaels movie. I felt that it was putting out that message. And that's where I was trying to, you know. I was trying to crack that code.
According to Klaus, because I listened back, and what he said.
Michael Klaus, no, I know. And like,
yeah.
Well, that's the interesting thing, too.
Yeah, the
Jesus
guy
really
that,
took the wheel.
The guy that had us taking the wheel is now not here tonight.
Yeah.
He's under the weather, so either he did give Jesus the wheel and it was a mistake, or we talked him out of letting Jesus take the wheel, and he's suffering for
I'm
it.
I'm glad ooh. Jesus didn't take the wheel the other night after that freaking bar.
No,
well, Jesus paid. Probably should have driven home for, well, me. But I'm not going to speak for anyone else.
Wait, what am I missing? What just happened?
We were talking earlier. Just God, I think my drinking career has come to
That's
an end.
Brutal.
It's so sad. Oh.
Well, you had a Hall of Fame career, though, Kev.
God damn, you know.
I needed a reminder
you know,
why I
like,
don't really drink anymore,
you know, I feel
Kev.
Like the athlete that, like, just was awesome back in the day and just like, no, I can do it. I can get back out there and still make it happen. And it was me, Sean, Christian, and Casey, you know, friend of mine. And
Michael didn't come.
He was a late
arrival.
Michael,
that's right. No, Michael
he was a late arrival.
No, and Michael was. He put him away. I was proud of him.
Sure.
We were there the longest though, and when we left, I told Sean, I said, no, you got to let me. Not that I'm Jesus, but you have to let me take the wheel.
I was just gonna Uber it.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Of course, you knew that. I told you that.
But now that's a – see, now the world has changed so much, you can't take Uber now, but we can talk about that later.
No, I honestly don't recall you saying that. I don't recall. I don't recall you saying that. I just remember you saying, no, I can – I'm fine.
No. Okay. I definitely wasn't fine.
No, and I know I that, and I know
and
that,
I
and that's,
that's
why
I wasn't going
to
drive.
Yeah, but that's why
I
said,
I was going to tell you I was going to drive as opposed to getting you to drive, Kev.
Oh, well, thank you. But I just, you know what?
No one needed to be driving.
Yeah, but I told, whatever. I knew I could get, it was a few blocks, and it was, and I told you, I showed you the road to the Batcave.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There's no one on that road. It's just literally like a, less than a mile away.
I feel like this is perjury or something. Like, this is not good.
What's that?
We were all sober. We all drove sober. And there was no drunk driving.
Yeah, we're just
that
telling jokes right here for the air. This is show business. This is a script that we wrote out before the show.
It wasn't so much about that. I was actually fine. My point was, it was the day after that I wasn't fine.
Right.
That sucked. And I was like,
Why?
I don't know. Just, you know, your body chemistry just can't handle it. And it can't, I don't know. Like, I just had a really bad headache and, yeah, I got up early like I always do and had work to do. And then later in the morning, it just hit me. I'm like, oh, my God, this does not feel good.
I was 15 minutes late for my meeting with my CPA. So that's not cool.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe time to just hang it up. Kelly Knezovich.
Why are you saying this right when I'm just starting to get it? You just pushed me.
Yeah,
and
but
I'm fine.
You're young. You're new to the game,
yeah,
man. You can get in there and make shit happen.
Enjoy it while you can. That's what you should do.
Get in there and make it happen.
This is why I'm afraid to do that, because I'm not going to wake up or like on time.
It's
I'm going to be late.
Part of the deal.
Yeah, but I've always been like, I've tried to always be in control of my life. So I like, you know.
You can loosen up.
Yeah.
And no,
I can't
just,
though.
No, with the right environment.
Yeah,
no, you can.
I've seen you
in the right environments, of course.
But then I don't get stuff done the next day, and then I want to like.
No, you're right. Well, that's why you can't.
Because then I can't wake up, and I'm exhausted, and I'm exhausted.
That's why you got to wait till Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
And who knows? Maybe in all seriousness, because you're coming up the ladder, then you know maybe this isn't a good idea.
Yeah,
maybe
I think
it isn't, because it is. You want to be
absolutely a good idea.
I
really?
Have,
yes, because she's so high strung and neurotic about things that she, if whether it's cannabis or wine, like it's something to rest your brain at night. You got to do something.
Okay.
Because even if you feel a little headache in the morning.
Right. But I did that last night.
There's
and
a bigger
I had a
point.
Ton of work to do. And then this morning I woke up and I was like, fuck.
No, there's a bigger point to all of us. Listen, if you don't have the means or the capacity, or you are, you know, at that place in your life, fine. You're right. Wine, a Valium, cannabis, fine. But you really are robbing yourself of going deeper. You know, with Ashley, half of her energy is worn out on stress. It's not worn out on work. She thinks it's work, and the people around her think it's work. It's not. It's stress. It's stress. That's why I watch the two of you in both of your work schedules, Roxy and Ashley, and I see your work schedules. You know, I won't say who has the harder work schedule, but I will say who's much more exhausted, and it is because of stress. And now Maria, same thing. Much of her, she works 7 days a week. She's always, you know, I've never seen anyone work harder than Maria, male or female. But I will say, as hard as she works, there's so much stress. You know, you Kelly, you went to with her parents and your boyfriend to the All-Star game.
Yeah.
And Maria's worried about you guys there, where you're sitting, how you got there, all this stuff. I mean, Maria, what are you doing? Like, you're using up all your strength and your bandwidth, and through meditation and breathing exercises and meeting with certain people, you can get your mind to focus on what's important and not that minutia stuff. And so you guys, not you guys, Maria does, and you actually, you sway more than Maria. You're so high strung. And yeah, you can just meet it head on with drugs and alcohol, and that's fine. And there'll be times even with therapy that you'll need that. But the real solution is you have to go deeper. And for you, mindful meditation, mm-hmm. like Russell Simmons said when he was here, everyone thinks it's mumbo jumbo. It's exactly what will calm your mind down to the point that the only things that will be on your mind are the things that are important.
I think with that, though, I think, Ash, you're going to have to, if you do mindful meditation, you're going to have to give 10 minutes or however long
it is. Of course.
You're going to have to give 10 minutes and give it full attention. You can't be thinking, okay, I'm going to meditate.
Here's what's going to happen.
Think of other things.
Here's what's going to happen with the process. It's like anything. It's like anything, any new sport you pick up or whatever. If we said, okay, let's all go learn how to golf. The first times are going to suck, frustrating, and you're going to want to just quit. But with meditation, if you're going to sit there and your mind, like I remember when I went to the classes, Ash, I'd be like, is it normal like that? Literally like a minute and a half in, I'm thinking of like my favorite Star Trek episode. Like, you know?
Yeah, it's normal.
And that's what they said. They said, yeah, but you have to, it's the famous line I always tell you guys, stay the course, play through.
Yeah.
Just hang in there. Hang in there for those. Give it those. It's 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes at night. If you can't do the 20 at night,
just
before
do what
bed,
you can
do
at
10.
First.
Yeah, you could do that, but I was taught, and I spent a lot of money and had the best teachers, you know, and just that's the whole thing is you're going to, like, want to get out of the chair. Don't. Just stay there. And they'll tell you it's okay that if after minute two you're thinking about everything else. You just keep repeating that mantra over and over again, over and over again. And then over time you'll fall asleep while you're doing it and all different things. And like I said, I just have to get you talk to Yogi Cameron about getting you a mantra. And then once I get you that mantra, I'm going to have you do the practice. And,
Russell Simmons came in here though, and he said that you could just make one up. He said that you could use,
you could
rum.
That's what he said. That's what he said. But I mean, Yogi Cameron is like, he's, you know, like I'd like to go through him.
Right.
Shout out to his new book. What's his new book? Lauren. I know he wrote The Yogi in You, but the new one.
The Yogic Way? Am I making that up? Let me double check.
The Yogi Way? I don't know. Anyway, but that's just.
The Yogi Code?
The Yogi Code.
The Yogi Code. There you go. So anyway, but I think that's, Ash, for you. I think it's just slowing things down. And then, yeah, I think you should do the drinking and all that stuff, but you should do it to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Not to medicate.
To be honest with you, my schedule has, because you told me I can, like, truthfully, yeah, my schedule has changed a lot, and my weakness is time management. So that's where I need
but
to
again,
learn.
But again, you're like Maria, you get stressed about the schedule.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
exactly.
We're already, I'm like, Maria, we lost. The minute you're like, oh my God, next week is, I'm like, we're lost.
Yeah, yeah. I would love to see. I wonder how I'll be after I do meditation.
You'll see, like all of a sudden, like people go, "Wow, you're calmer, you're happier, you're not." You'll see all those little things, and you start to really focus on things that are make things more clear. I told you, Donkey Kong, one barrel at a time.
Yes,
but you look at the whole Donkey Kong ladders, everything. Oh my God, Maria did the same thing, and it's like, wait, you're already exhausted. What are you doing? You know, one scam at a time.
You got to wonder if that's done any good for Maria, though, just because she is so successful.
No.
You wonder if that's made her, like, ahead of things or...
No.
Okay.
No, because you have me.
She's been successful in spite of it.
Because, exactly. If she's been... It's like someone who's been successful carrying two giant bags of bricks.
Got it.
If she would drop those bricks and she would fly. What she's done is she succeeded despite it, and that's why, you know, there's injuries now that we're getting, like, you know, jaw tensing up, neck problems. It's all of this is just based on, and eventually she's young enough where it doesn't matter, but eventually real illness is going to come. So I'm seeing, though, a lot of progress in the last few months, which is great.
That's awesome.
And again, her mother's illness is really helping because it's saying, like, okay, like that's really requires my focus. So this stuff doesn't, but, anyway, the drinking thing. Yeah. I think it's fun, and I think you should do it for fun. I'm not with Roxy. It's for fun. You owe yourself some fun and a nice release. So I think it's more that, like, work. And I always say my quote about beer, tastes better the less you drink it. I'm sure I don't know with cannabis. I would assume the same thing. So meaning you work hard and you accomplish some things and, you know, whatever. And then you celebrate. And then it's more fun with you
because it wasn't good every other time I did it. So that last time I did it, the only time I liked it was that time I'd had your weed.
My weed.
Sean.
Well, let's bring it up, but go back over to alcohol. You had a lot of fun the few times.
I had so much fun.
Okay,
yeah.
See what I'm saying? Because, but if you were doing it every weekend to medicate, like Sean was saying, no.
Maybe it wouldn't be fun. Yeah.
No, it becomes dark, which is why, you know.
Well, you just become dependent as well.
But, you know, Sean, I've never seen an alcoholic or a drug addict or someone who's deep in their medication One of my frustrations with them is that they're not happy. They're miserable.
Exactly.
And I'd be like, you know, why are you miserable? It's awesome to be drunk, and you get to be drunk all the time, and everyone else enables you and pays your fucking bills. And why aren't you happy? You know, but they're never.
If it doesn't get out of control, though, those things can be really nice in helping you cope with those things until you get there, you know?
Yeah.
Wait, I don't know what you mean.
I know what you're
saying. Until you get there with the mindful meditation and all, yeah.
But I think that, because if you don't have that available to you, I get it. And I think when you do the mindful meditation, you're still good. Everyone that I know needs that little, I mean, rarely do I know somebody doesn't need just that release, that cold beer, that glass of wine, the hit of, you know what I mean, Valium. I get it. But, you know, having that be the consistent go-to, that's not the answer. The answer is that you got to go deeper under the hood and figure it out. I was hungover. That's all I have to say.
Now that I felt so bad.
It was just,
And I just did not like just how I was in my head at the end of the night. Like my speech was slurred. It's not the way I want anybody to ever see me.
Yeah.
Personally, that's just me.
See, and I don't do it enough, so I was slurring away, and I didn't care because I don't do it enough. So I was like, but I just was the next day. I was like, oh my god.
Just for me, it's a look that people remember me a long time ago.
We've talked about this. Like you've had it. You've toured.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you've had the rock star life, so none of it.
Those that's,
Courtney Stodden's body doesn't impress you. You know what I mean?
Not even close.
I know. Yeah. No. And I think that's so cool that you know what I mean, that you got it out of your system.
I think it's pretty cool, too.
It is. No, it's great. Let the rest of us have fun, though.
Please. I don't want to ruin it for anyone.
No.
You had no problem with the rest of us having fun.
No.
You know? It was a good night. I don't know exactly how long we were out, but it was the entirety of ET. I remember it was on there. So that's how long that's how many drinks.
Oh, my God.
However long it takes to drink throughout ET.
I think the worst thing that happened was that I got the bartenders to actually serve us.
Oh,
that's
what do you mean? Worst thing? That was the best thing.
Well, the best and the worst. I mean,
that was great. We were there for 25 minutes, Casey and I, and nothing. And I was saying, and he goes, "Don't you complain?" I go, "No, don't complain, because it's more entertaining to watch them ignore us." And the bar's like half empty.
It was so great.
There was nobody there,
and he was gonna. I said, "No, you can't complain. You have to be Newman in the Soup Nazi." Bring up Newman in the Soup
yes!
Nazi, because everyone so forgets good. Like the minute of what the Soup Nazi. Everyone thinks the Soup Nazi takeaway is the guy was a Nazi with his great soups or whatever. That's not the takeaway.
Really? What is the takeaway?
You'll see it.
Yeah.
Here we go. The takeaway.
Game in the system.
Yeah.
No one had to play it.
See, your takeaway is Newman, because how many times do we deal with, in today's millennial generation, even more Newmans and Soup Nazis? Okay, so pause. One large jambalaya. So bring it back a little bit, and let me set it up. So, you know, in life, how many times now do we deal with customer service is at an all-time piss-poor low in this country? And, you know, you're when you're dealing with somebody, in that moment, they have a product you want, you know.
Yeah.
Maria, all the time, like, she actually wastes the breath complaining to them. And I'm like, stop. First of all, you're just going to get them to spit in your food anyway, number one. Or number two, they're just going to ignore you even more. Don't. So I'm telling you, Newman 20 years ago had it exactly down how to deal with someone who has terrible customer service. So watch this. Watch how Newman comes up and orders his soup.
And then they just ran off with the armoire just like that.
Okay.
The city.
Look at.
One large jambalaya, please.
Yep. Look at him. Look.
Continue. Well, my friend is awfully disappointed, is all. Now, she's very emotional.
Thank you.
See that rocks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you see what he did? Pause there, see?
Jambalaya.
And he got what he wanted, but did you see the walk up? Did you see the posture was perfect?
Absolutely.
He stood at attention, made eye contact.
Respectful.
Yeah, no.
Two steps to the left.
No screwing around. And I think, is it Jerry who messes up or George?
George. Yep.
Elaine's the first one.
Is it even on that clip?
George, I thought it was George. Isn't
on this. I'll find it.
But you'll see. Yeah, you'll see the wrong way. But the right way, that's it. You just nodding, hello, eye contact, like that. bartender. Yep, you're amazing. What is your opinion of the bar business, sir? Remember we were, sure. Were you there for the small talk?
No, I don't know.
We had all the awful small talk, everything. I was totally Newman with the soup Nazi, and then he finally served us. And then you came in when he knew X-Pac was there. Oh, my God.
He's like, hey, man, how's the foot? I remember it was broken last time I was in.
In the clip we just saw, you were Kramer we just watched.
Here's what
Kramer.
I do, though, Kev.
What?
I give them a big portion of their tip up front.
I do that, too. I kill him with tips. You have no idea how much
I don't mean their
I don't even want to say how much, because I know you have to, goes back to more life lessons. Pay the VIG, the mob. Just pay the VIG, and I pay him, believe me, it doesn't matter, because it's millennials. It doesn't matter. It's not, again, you're dealing with an older crowd. But millennials love F-A-M-E, fame, hey bitches. Okay, here we go. George is with the soup Nazi. Let's see. Yeah. He's going to screw the pooch. Oh, did he already have heat with him?
Medium turkey chili.
No, it's coming.
Medium crab bisque.
All right, there you go. So far, so good.
Wait, about to complain.
Just forget it, let it go.
Jerry, that's awesome.
Excuse me, I think you forgot my bread.
No, Maria.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3.
There you go.
No soup for you.
There you go. See?
Oh, man.
Jerry enjoying the soup. There you go. See, Roxy, I know you're from the Maria camp. Well, you'll go and you'll complain.
Until my voice is gone.
You can't. No.
I'll go to a different place to get soup.
And what, they're going to...
You're missing out on the great soup.
Oh, no, I'll fuck myself, Kev, because then I'll end up having to go back there and try to get the soup at the
end of the day. All right, no, I mean, if Bush comes to shove, I'll open my own bar. I mean, I subscribe to that philosophy as well. But I'm so overwhelmed in my day, and if it's like whether we're going to a movie or something, I'm like, Maria, please, can we just wrap this the F up? Let me suck their ass and, you know, do the fucking bullshit, get our stuff, get our goods, and go on our merry way. You know?
Sometimes it's worth it to just do that.
It's always because I have, listen, there's other scams out there I want to pull. I'm not interested in that scam. Let them win. It's that we always call it the crumb of power. They have that little crumb of power, and they can't wait to exercise it. So.
I was never a Seinfeld fan as great as, and I always knew the show was great, one of the greatest ever, but I never really knew what the soup Nazi thing was.
Now you know.
Well, I it's been a couple of years now, but that's really one of the first times I've ever seen it.
Well, that's very nice.
Thank you very much.
WrestleLink, I'm sure, will be happy to publish that. They will actually, probably.
Deep and wide as well, culture knowledge.
Then, Lauren, what would the headline be? X-Pac
has never seen the soup Nazi until now.
Dot, dot, dot.
I seen him at a
question mark.
I seen him at a Comic-Con one time, and I still hadn't seen, hadn't seen his work.
Oh, you saw Jerry.
No, the soup Nazi.
Oh, did you talk to him?
Bless his heart. He didn't have no one in line.
He, of course, hates being called the soup Nazi. He has a brand called the Soup Man. He does not like the word Nazi applied to him. He's very particular about that.
You know, but you get that a lot because you go with the NWO and you guys have tons and tons of people. And you see a lot of big stars and they have nobody.
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of feel bad for them, but then they're giving you the stink eye, like you're taking money from them. It's like, some of them, not all of them, Kev.
Who gives you the stink eye?
People.
Wow. Yeah. You can't say you're always good about this.
I just can't even
think.
Oh, look, Kev, I don't really care. I don't think they'd be listening to any of you. I just can't come up with a...
Sam Jones, Flash Gordon. He ever
yes.
a stink eye?
Yes,
he's
actually.
Had a hunch.
Yes.
He was at the Stanley Comic Con when we went. There weren't a lot of people, so I was like, let me guess something.
Wales Comic Con. I looked over and saw him and Cup and him and who else? Oh, shit. Anyways, he was one of them. He was. Yeah,
he was
over
nice
there.
To us girls in our short dresses.
Yeah,
he really was.
What a surprise.
Completely not interested in Zach and I, by the way. Mm-hmm. Didn't have anything to say to Zach and I, but he loved you guys.
Mm-hmm. So, I felt that hand on my lower
back. That's funny. right on the money.
I just have a hunch of celebrities who have a chip on their shoulder.
Bonjour, Juliette. Comment ça va?
Bonjour, bonjour.
Juliette, I'm ready to open the, now more than ever, the ink cartridge toner.
You really should. Before you do it, I need to back up. At one point, you said beer only tastes better if you have it less. But that doesn't apply to our IPA rants. Those only get better.
Yes, you're right about that.
The more you have, the better.
Good. Absolutely. I want to clear that.
Yes. I'm drinking much too slow.
Okay, you're right about that. Thank you.
Good. Now that we have that cleared up, what's up with the ink business?
I don't know. I was just like, we went to a liquor store today, Juliette and I, and then so we were doing some research on IPA rant. And then I just said, you know, then on the way back, we saw it was the toner supply ink cartridge store. It's a little tiny store. And I go, you know, it just seems like that would be a lot easier. You know what I mean?
You never know. The sign business was apparently really hard, so.
Well, the lady who put in the signs, yeah, she was. I think that was
ink could be dangerous, Kev.
I just think that, like, a nice store with the cash register, and I just whatever you need, I'll do it. It used to be the speaker shop and pagers that I was my fantasy job, but now I think the ink cartridges.
I think that, Kevin, it would actually be more challenging than you're thinking because people get pissed about ink. They always are buying the wrong freaking cartridge or coming back. Talk about being a bad customer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
with it torn open. Oh, I'm not taking – look, Juliette, I'm not taking that back.
No, screw that.
Yeah, but they're going to say to you, you know, the customer's always right, and you're going to say, fuck you.
And you know what they're going to dangle over your head? I'm going to write a bad review on Yelp.
Yes. So, Kev, I think that – I'm sorry to put a pin in your dream here, but –
Okay, so I'm going back to – I want to do the speaker shop and pagers.
But you know
pagers.
What, Kev?
What?
Just like me, we have a little French blood, and when it comes to customer service, that's definitely not our thing. So, like you said, you can be lame,
can
and
say that
if
again.
They come, yeah. If they come and complain, yeah, you're just a Frenchman who doesn't care.
Raylan, are you in there?
Yes, she is. Yes, I'm here.
Welcome back, Raylan.
Hi.
Raylan, I had a really big question for you.
Gosh,
remember?
No, I don't.
Were you honest with me when I asked you?
Yeah.
No, you were.
No, I was. I really thought you had a serious question.
That was a serious question.
No, but like a serious question.
Oh, okay. I guess it wasn't serious then, Raylan.
No, but I mean, it is serious. I think that, I mean, would you like to tell people the question?
Yeah, care to share with the class?
Yes, please.
I asked her, I said, do you think I'm dope?
That's a really important question.
Thank you.
It is an important question.
And you said?
I said yes, but I thought that you would know this already. We went over this, Kevin. You know, you have haters, so you have to shout them out.
No, we talked about that before. Yeah. How do you deal with the haters?
Yeah. Raylan, what makes somebody dope? Like, what would be the definition?
My definition of dope is just somebody who's, like, genuine. Like, genuinely cool, not trying. I feel like Kevin,
I would say that
trying.
To you, Kev.
Yeah.
That's definitely you.
That's Tim.
You don't think you're you think
no.
you try?
No. I want to be dope. I think that's why I asked her. But
you are dope.
Thank you. I don't think I'm dope.
Sean's pretty dope. You're dope.
Sean's famously dope.
Kelly's dope. Ash and I don't know if we're so dope. Christian's dope.
I kind of retired from being dope,
Christian,
actually.
Okay, Christian.
You're totally dope.
I'm
not dope.
Christian, tell me about Trump. What's going on?
Where do you want to begin?
So Maria's freaking out all weekend long with social media and stuff, saying that this is crazy. And then she's like, and then we couldn't even enjoy. It was tough to enjoy the Royal Rumble because she's like, you know, this is so much fun, but I feel guilty being into this one though. And I don't know. And I went on CNN and Fox and whatever. And it didn't seem as crazy as
I think that there's some legitimate things to be concerned about. I think that the uproar didn't necessarily match what was actually happening. It matched what people thought was happening. What other people, you know, there's definitely a huge echo chamber on social media. You know, people start to say this is terrible. You absolutely agree on it. And, you know, so Trump signs an executive order that bans travel from several countries that happen to be Muslim. You know, it's a primary religion, but he didn't ban travel from all Muslim countries, which people are like, oh, he told us he was going to do it. That's not what it was.
And he also didn't eliminate travel that was already in place.
Correct. And there was definitely some things that needed to be handled, and that's why it's good that, you know, there was at least some outcry and the ACLU sent some lawyers. There were people who had green cards who should not have been turned away, who were detained, I guess. I don't want to say anyone was imprisoned, but there were definitely a lot of things that didn't go the way they were supposed to. But if you looked at social media, you would expect that, you know, Trump closed the borders and you know, was only letting white people through.
So this was in relationship to the hashtag Muslim ban.
Yes.
And that's where it blew up. When you're talking about Twitter didn't necessarily match what was happening.
What was actually happening? And I'm not saying that there weren't things that were happening. I mean, you heard stories about Syrian refugee families who had filled out all the paperwork who were, according to what you read in the media, sent back to Syria.
Yes.
So you have to, you know, dig a little bit beneath the surface and see what actually happened with a lot of those things. The problem was that President Obama he had a very liberal policy in terms of, no pun intended, in terms of liberal. He was trying to take in a lot of refugees. And Trump kind of ran on this thing, we're not going to do that. And basically what they're doing is, depending on the instances, either 90 days or 120 days, where they're going to take a look at it. And it's what he called it in the campaign, extreme vetting. So in theory, that seems like that should be okay. And obviously the execution was not what people were expecting.
I can't imagine it being much, much worse.
There was an article.
Right. It could not have gone worse.
I'm trying to find the article in Boston.com that like actually broke down the specifics of what happened. I can't find it. But, you know, some of it was interesting because it was a lot of like 90 day stay, you know, things were kind of frozen for, you know, more than like abolished. So it was like until we kind of giving us time to look into.
They want to get some new things in place. They want to review the, you know, the system that they're trying to put in. They want to know what's going on. And they will eventually cap refugee admissions at 50,000 per year, which, you know, sounds.
What is it now?
It's like double that.
It's
a little over double that.
And 50,000 is where it was during the Bush administration. So, you know, I mean, it's not like this is a crazy level that we're being taken to.
But
this
don't
is,
you think people feel as if we've made progress from that point and this would be going backwards?
Well, those people didn't get the president that they wanted. So they have to kind of just, you know, to some extent, you have to deal with it. Now, what I did like about it was that people felt like something bad was happening and they actually got together and the ACLU was actually able to accomplish something. I don't know in the long term what will actually happen. But, you know, the acting attorney general said she's not going to enforce this law.
Well, the acting.
She got fired tonight.
She just got fired.
Yeah.
So she started the show. Sally Yates.
So now they have.
Now, wait, was she appointed by him?
No, she was the acting attorney general until Jeff Sessions gets approved. She was an Obama appointee.
And now fired.
Yeah, because she said she wasn't going to enforce it. And that's what happens. When you say something like that and you say, like, what the president says I'm not going to do, you get fired. She probably wanted to get fired. And it's a sort of.
Well, it looks great, you know, to her to get fired. And by the way, how great.
When she gets a show on MSNBC, this is going to be exactly why.
And she looks like she has the appearance to have one.
Yeah.
They're a little Rachel Maddow in the making.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, was any of this a reaction to the protests or whatever, or was this like, do you think he had this in mind? Like, okay, phase one, we're going to handle the refugees and the Muslims. Phase two is the economy or whatever.
Yeah, I think that they have a checklist and it's things that they talked about during the campaign and the party who's in power, the Trump administration, these are the things that they want to do. And, you know, if there are enough Republicans in Congress that have a problem with these things, then it'll slow it down. But if his party is backing up what he's doing, then people just have to kind of deal with it. I mean, people say that this is what happened eight years under Obama, is that he kind of did whatever he wanted.
But how
Obama?
About,
yeah.
So now we have the Border Patrol and the DHS not following federal court orders.
Right.
The Attorney General not listening. You know, telling the attorneys not to defend this executive order. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah.
What's the insane part, Sean?
They're
not following orders, and those are people who get fired.
I was telling Christian, this is the closest I've ever seen in my adult life. Well, actually, life ever to a constitutional crisis. This is as close as I've ever seen.
But what's the part that you're calling insane? The fact that he's putting out these orders, or the fact that
that there's supposed to be checks and balances between the executive, between all the branches of government, and it's not working right now. It's not working, and that is scary.
The implementation of this could not have gone worse. I mean, what I was trying to get before, and I wanted to make sure I got it right. It's basically putting the 90-day ban as people entering the U.S. from Iraq, Syria, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen. A couple of those countries, I'm surprised that we let people in anyway, mostly Libya. You know, it's very
Saudi Arabia. I can't believe
well, Saudi
not on
Arabia,
that list.
Of course, is not on there because they're a great ally and great business partners of President Trump.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, that was my question. So a lot of people, this is a question for Christian. A lot of people are saying that the reason why a lot of the countries that do have ISIS or at least Islamic terrorists in some degree weren't put on there is because Trump has business associations with them.
It's
is that
partially
true?
That, but they're our allies too. I mean, Saudi Arabia has a terrible human rights record, and we certainly shouldn't be as cozy with them as we are, but we sure are. And I mean, there are the majority, all the
Pakistan's not on the
all
list.
The countries that 9/11 terrorists came from. Those countries are not on this list. So it's not a Muslim ban. It's not even it's just countries that are torn apart by jihadist violence or under the control of hostile jihadist governments is the way it's worked.
Here's the thing about like people when they're looking at their finances and thinking about how great this is, you know, the Trump winning has been for their stock portfolio. Well, the reason why this country, why it's so safe like to invest in, partly is because it's a country of laws and the rule of law. And when our own branches of government are not following these laws, eventually it's going to affect the markets, but, everything.
Okay, I don't disagree, but if you are somebody who is in a position of power and you're working for somebody, I'm not calling Trump Hitler. I'm saying in a different place, in a different time, if you've got somebody who is doing things that you wholeheartedly don't believe in, and you are in a position of power, do you let them test the water and keep following their rules until they do something that is something like we kill all of the Jews? Or do you never put your foot down? Or do you put your foot down from day one? I mean, where is the line?
When do we quit? Just wait and see.
Well, clearly, you know, Susan Yates, that was something that she's just like, I'm not going to do this. And yeah, I'm going to get fired over it. But I just don't. And that's what's going to happen is, you know, you'll be replaced by somebody who will do their job. And if you want this to not be the law of the land, somebody else is going to have to deal with it. You know, he's going to appoint a new Supreme Court justice tomorrow. So maybe that's someone who will be involved in the decision making.
She made a mistake. And I was watching earlier Alan Dershowitz, and he's a definitely leans as far about to the left as he. He was criticizing her for she. He basically said it was just a political, you know.
He said,
yeah,
it was yeah, a political and, miscalculation.
Yeah, and she should have examined it, you know, on the constitutionality of the executive order, and she didn't.
So it wasn't a mistake that she quit. It was a mistake that she didn't.
It was a mistake on how she went about
this. To basically issue a statement that says, I'm not going to listen to the law that the president just signed.
It should have been, this is not constitutional, therefore I cannot.
Yeah. What she said is, I don't know that it's constitutional until I'm sure I'm not going to enforce it, which is basically saying, you're going to have to fire me. So.
And here's a problem with firing her, Kev. All of the surveillance warrants that need to be issued have to be signed by an attorney general, acting attorney general. We have none now. So what happens in the meantime when we need some?
Well, he declared.
Signed?
Yeah, I think he said that actually he appointed someone as she'll be acting attorney general until Jeff Sessions is confirmed. Her name is Dana Buente, United States Attorney for.
Amoroso could do it if we needed her to.
I mean, there's a lot of celebrity apprentice winners or candidates.
But Omarosa she was an attorney.
She
was an attorney, so let's get her.
She does have other tasks in the administration, though. Mm-hmm. But she can be reassigned.
Interesting stuff, huh?
Yeah.
But what's the solution? I don't know.
Yeah. That's a great question. And what is it that people are supposed to do if they are in a place of discomfort because their president didn't win? What do they do? Do they just protest? Do they keep shutting down the airports? Do they keep holding up signs? Do they call their congressmen? Like what? I don't know what they're supposed to
Maybe
do.
All of those
I think
things.
People are doing all of those things.
Yeah.
And you
keep
know.
Doing it.
But what you don't do if you're a celebrity who works for a major media outlet, don't complain that the protests slowed down your flight and you missed a flight because of it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who did this?
I have to look up who it is. Sorry. I was trying to remember. It's somebody from, I think, ESPN. It was a woman, but I can't remember.
Not a good look.
Listen, everyone could have been watching Royal Rumble like me. You could have seen Brock Lesnar come in.
Sage Steele, ESPN.
Goldberg.
Host,
Cena. That,
John
Marie,
Cena won
did
the
see
title.
That match, which Maria said we didn't see. She
was too busy being feeling guilty.
It was awesome. I'm so psyched
One
to see
One of the best
Cena.
Matches I've seen in years.
Okay, so what made it? I'm Super Mark, so I just love the match.
Yeah.
What made the Cena match against AJ Styles what you say and other people are saying it was?
Okay, besides the in-ring action, bell to bell, it was the secret sauce was the build-up. And people giving, they cared, Kev. You know, and Cena's just, he hasn't been anywhere close to this good his entire career.
Come
and
on.
He's been great.
Okay, so see, John, this is the science
he's
of the, okay.
better than he's
so
ever
this is the,
been.
This is the part of the, this is the art of what you do that I don't, I'm a civilian, I don't get. I just go and I watch and I cheer. I'm the ultimate mark. So tell me what is it now? Like, what's the difference now with him?
As opposed to what?
He passed matches. He wasn't. Yeah, I don't know. To me, I don't know the difference.
It's not that he wasn't. It's just that he's really, really running on all cylinders now.
Okay, who
so
is?
What's the
John Cena.
Okay, but what is running on all cylinders? What are the cylinders? Like, you have to describe it to me because I just, let me say, he goes to the ring. He's jacked. He's strong. He's present. He fights through injuries. I from what I see,
something's inspiring him. I don't know what
I don't want to know the why. What is it that he's doing? Tell me the typical Mark who doesn't understand the science.
The passion
or
the art. The passion in his promos on and when he's on the mic
is even higher.
Yes.
Okay. And then in
People
ring,
care.
what's the difference in the ring now compared to other matches?
He's just giving the best matches of his entire career and the best matches. Damn near an entire wrestling industry.
Okay.
Here's
the one thing as a Mark.
It's just something that you can't put a finger on. I can't explain certain things about it.
Well, when I would go see him, one of the things I loved about him is when I went to the house matches, which if you're not a wrestling fan, those are not the ones that are televised. I can't believe how hard he worked in the house match that we saw. And this was about 3 or 4 years ago. So he was already like in Cena mania, if that's even such a thing.
He works like that. That's how he works in every aspect of his life.
And so I guess I'm just trying to think, but was it more aerial moves? Was it more, what was it that
you
would
say? Nothing to do with the moves. It's all about the hard work and knowing when to do things and being and having a connection with the people in the building. And they tell you, okay, and it's there's a symbiosis that you just keep feeding off each other, and it just keeps getting, it's really very difficult to explain to somebody that's never done it, but people that have actually tons of guys that do wrestling that have no clue to what I'm talking about and never will, Kev.
But there's some fans that that. Do see what you're seeing better that I'm not one of them, but I think you
see it. You just might not be able to articulate it.
I see it. Stuff I can understand, which is promos, right? Cause that's acting. I see that part of it, but the in-ring stuff, unless they're bad, I can tell you when someone's bad, but.
And AJ is as good as they get like right now. So it's his opponent too, that brought that out of him, Kev. Maybe the best opponent he's had.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for AJ because, it's tough when you come from TNT to kind
TNA.
Of TNA, excuse me, and get that off you,
Yep.
But I loved it. I thought it was amazing. But I love his work, and I love
WWE champion again, and he's gonna face Randy Orton at WrestleMania. I'm a big Randy Orton fan.
Love Randy.
Huge Randy Orton
love
fan.
Love Randy. We've talked about that, but why do you think that they went to that match where we've seen that match before?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to sit. I know people, that's what they do. They analyze the hell out of it. I'm going to just go ahead and enjoy it.
Okay. And have you, and I wish Jared was here to tell me this. What are the fans thinking of that match?
Oh, I hear some people bitch.
Yeah. Okay. Because see, I like this because this is a matchup I've been waiting to see.
Yeah.
And I love Randy and I love John. I'd like to see them against
other
people. Trust
me, they're
going to
have that thing. They're going to have that thing ready to go by WrestleMania, and people are going to be really wanting to see it.
I mean, listen, when I'm there, I'm going to be all in, but I've just seen the match before. I like it when I haven't seen it before. That's me personally.
And we don't know that that's necessarily going to be the match.
Ah, you're right. You never know.
Right.
And a shout out to Jericho for lasting 59 minutes hiding in the outside the Royal Rumble. I thought he was hilarious. And I love the Rumble. I know, again, because, again, I'm super fan, so I don't know any better. I had other people say the matches were great, but the Rumble wasn't as good. But
what do you think of the Brock Lesnar and Goldberg
loved.
Stuff? Why not, right? Double loved. Down on it, right?
Yeah.
He's still Brock Lesnar.
He's still Brock, now it makes it even a... Right. Yeah, no, and it was not a predictable to see Brock Lesnar kind of, again, get foiled by Goldberg. And it was fun. I really, I can't wait for Mania. So Marie and I are like totally into it. Anyway,
you don't have to everybody's like, listen, oh, God,
you don't have to be so bummed.
Shit.
Well, you know what? We went from one extreme to another, from Trump and politics to wrestling.
Hey, there's a natural segue there.
Compelling.
Trump being a, WWE Hall of Fame.
That's true.
Member,
that's
president.
True. That's true. Yeah, I
not
don't.
My president.
I don't know what.
Don't get me pissed.
I don't know what to say about this one. So I don't know. Just hope for the best.
Well, about the Trump thing, there's one important thing that I can tell everyone watching right now.
What's up?
Make sure you tune in for the Trump Report tomorrow night, Tuesday, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific on AfterBuzz TV. We'll be talking pretty much only about this. I don't even know if we're going to get to anything else.
Yeah, really? There's nothing else to talk about?
Well, there's so much time to be spent that I just know that we're not going to get to much else.
And didn't he sign something? I saw that. This is how I get my news. LGBTQ is trending.
Yeah.
And he signed something else about some sort of executive order about taking away some sort of rights.
Yeah.
People are tweeting about.
I think that was the exact headline on BuzzFeed, probably.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, I heard that he had signed I don't know if it was an executive order, but there was some sort of law or of some sort passed that gay people no longer have protection to not be discriminated against in
the job place. In corporate. That's exactly what it was, Lauren. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I very eloquently put that.
Oh, I didn't put it eloquently just now.
Eloquently, yes.
I think he's actually signed it. He's considering it, is what I'm
reading. The thing that, I think that as far as regulations go, I think regulations are just business is overregulated, what I'm trying to spit out here. I think that regulations strangle businesses. Small businesses, the big ones can handle a lot of that. But his new policy is like if they pass a regulation, he wants them to rescind two of them. Have you heard that?
I haven't heard that specifically, but that sounds like government speak.
It sounds like it would be a good, it would be something nice to get rid of a lot of that shit. Not all regulations, obviously we need them, but just laws in general. There's a lot of laws on the books in general that...
Roxy, you were saying about your boobs earlier today, but
are you seeing
have to
me do this
bar.
Right now?
No,
with
what did you say at the bar?
I'm like holding my back because I have to rest my boobs on the bar because my back hurts so bad sometimes from it. So right now I'm pulling them forward, like kind of pushing them out, but it's leaning on my arms.
Only because of
arms.
The size of them.
Yeah.
Speaking of Roxy's boobs, I think this
might
be a good time to ask Roxy to elaborate on her girl situation that we had briefly discussed
a few weeks ago. The audience.
We've been teasing it.
At
Rox, not to put you on the spot. But
you're not the host of this show. Kevin wants me to talk about it. Kevin,
I would love to hear about it, sure.
Oh, wow. Okay.
it's hard because Kevin can't even like think of me like this. So he hasn't even
we've known each other for 7 years. It's the first time she even mentioned the whole boob thing. And I said, I'm just so glad you don't talk like that around me. I'm glad I don't see that in you. I can't imagine what a mess my life would be if I did consider any of that. So, yes, no, we don't. But I'm sure fans would love to know.
Ask me questions. What do you want to know?
Well, when was this experience?
I was 17.
Wow. Whole different set of scams.
I'm a little lost. Can you, what do you?
Oh, because Kelly hasn't been here. Speaking of people who haven't been here for a while, Kelly. Roxy, why don't you bring the everyone up to speed? That's a great idea. Thank
we
you,
We had
Kelly.
Sheena Marie.
Yes, Sheena Marie Shea.
From Vanderpump Rules in the studio. I got this. And I think Ashley asked her if she'd ever dipped in the lady pool. And she said she like kind of got nervous about the answer. And then Kevin came to me and I said, yeah, I have. And she had also. And now you're caught up. So that's where we left
off. Well, that was fun.
But the interview was about Sheena, so we didn't talk about Roxy's lady pool experience.
Okay, carry on.
So only one time when you were 17?
I mean, I've made out with girls, you know, that was like a cool thing
to
do.
Is it at like the club or at a party? It's not an intimate thing?
I've never made out with girls without like guys watching or being, you know, one of those like things you see in movies where it's like, oh, you two should kiss, and then you start kissing because you're drunk and you're young. But this was, I slept with a woman, and it sucked. And I decided to never do it again.
That's awesome.
Which is such a bummer because, you know, I kind of wanted to like,
What sucked about it?
I think that there are better ways to do it. She had never slept with a woman before, and I had never slept with a woman before. And it just kind of felt like two suction cups, like, going against each other. There was nothing, like, good about it, you know? It was kind of just like, this is a little awkward. I'm not sure how to move, and it doesn't feel good. So, in that sense, it sucked. You know, like, I know how to have sex with a man, so I know if it feels good. Like, I know how to move, and I know where I want it. But with a woman who also didn't know what to do, it just was a it didn't feel like sex. It felt like
suction cups.
Suctions. Yeah. So I never went back. I was really hoping to like it because I think liking women and liking a sexual experience with women would open up new doors and that would be exciting. But I just didn't. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sure there are lesbians out there that do it way better. So maybe I should give them a shot. But
shout out to the lesbians doing it better.
Yeah, as of this point.
I find there's lesbians that are lesbian. Like, that's what they're born to be or whatever. And then I find that there is just, you know, lesbian activity by choice.
Right. I was missing a penis. So, like, that obviously means I wasn't born to not miss a penis. But that was missing. Yeah.
That's a beautiful
fair enough
statement.
Yep.
Fair enough. Awesome. Let's take a quick commercial because I got a potty, and then we'll wrap up because it's Super Bowl week, and we probably should talk about if you guys are excited to watch Super Bowl. We won't get too deep Patriots talk, but we should talk about Super Bowl plans, what mm-hmm. you kids are doing.
Fuck yeah.
Fudge ya. All right. Lauren, would you be so kind as to take us out?
Yes,
I
would.
Take us to a commercial.
I would be happy.
Au revoir, Juliette. Oh.
Au revoir, à tout à l'heure.
À tout à l'heure. What do we got? I'm stepping, shipping up to Boston. Oh, there you go. Of course. Dropkick Murphys. Sean, you know these guys?
No.
I feel like you would know them.
Do you mean personally?
Yeah. He knows a lot of the rock stars.
Apparently they're wrestling fans, but
yeah, and they're super fun. And, of course, yeah. He loved in Boston. Of course, the video is just so the thug's life. Anyway, you guys, it's Monday. It's tomorrow's show. We'll be right back after a brief commercial.
We're your twice weekly broadcast of one man's midlife crisis and the mad millennials in Star Trek uniforms that follow him.
And I'm one of those millennials, Lauren Magrasso here. We've had some amazing guests like Russell Simmons, Ileana Douglas, and Greg Gass. Coolio, right?
Christian Blatt in the house to tell you to go to thetomorrowshow.com to check us out. We're live every Monday and Thursday from 10 to midnight Eastern. That's thetomorrowshow.com. Be there or be square, whatever that means.
It's 9 o'clock. Are we back, Juliet? Oh, no. Bonjour, Juliet.
Bonjour.
Ah, c'est bon. C'est excellent. It's a great great bar song. This plays at every bar. Well, every, like, rundown bar. Yeah.
Every bar that we'd want to be in, Kev.
Yeah. Yeah. Where were we then? Jared weighed in on the Royal Rumble. We had an expert weigh in, and it's not so important that Jared weighed in, but his statements got the ire up of X-Pac. What did he say?
Sure, I'll summarize. He said Cena versus Styles was pretty solid. Cena's always
fucking
good.
Kidding me?
Serviceable.
Cena's always good when he's in the ring with an
Let
agile
me get you
opponent.
In the ring there. Jared.
Wait. Let Jared have his
And then I'll
text.
Just tell you his thoughts on the Rumble as
Go ahead,
well.
Say it again. Clean.
Sure.
Cena versus Styles was pretty solid. Cena's always good when he's in the ring with an agile opponent. Rumble was a bit of a letdown.
Okay, one thing that'll let him. Okay. One term at a time. Okay, so the Cena thing. What do you, that make sense to you?
I just take exception to somebody going, oh, it was pretty solid. Like, you know, it was all right. Good little match for them. Fucking kidding me, Jared? Are you fucking kidding me?
So
it's one of the best matches
solid.
In years. In years.
Well, he said the Rumble was a bit of a letdown. There were no surprise entrants, and he thinks that's what it should all be about. You need those surprises. He's particularly partial to wrestlers over the age of 60. Give me just one. Coco Beware, how about it?
That would have been nice. I agree with Jared on that. That would have been nice.
So you have a mixed reaction.
Yeah, that one, it was pretty solid shit. That fucking, come on, man. Just have a little fucking respect. And I know it's his opinion. He's welcome to it.
Sean, do you
but
think
that's my opinion of his opinion? How about that?
Sean, do you think it's because the roster is just so big that those 30 slots have to go to the current crop rather than give up one or two precious
probably.
Slots?
I don't actually know what the wisdom is on not having some guys, you know, some nostalgia guys in there.
Right.
Maybe they just couldn't find proper ones.
You know, Backlund has always said he did it 1 year, but he's like, no, Kevin, because I can't really do it. You know, he's like, you do one or two moves and it's over. You know,
and yeah, especially for Bob, his repertoire isn't
doesn't
mix well with
exactly like he the one that he did come back and do. He did his knee drop or back? What is it, Sean, when you pick someone up in the air and you bring him down?
Atomic
knee drop, which no one really knows anymore. And they don't even know he did that move because it became all about the chicken wing. And then that's a finishing move. You know, that's a submission move. That's not really going to be great in a battle royal. Yeah. So it's not like you can get a couple of like cool spots.
No, just nothing to get a reaction. You know, like you have to, when you come out, when you get in the ring there, you got to be able to come in and knock guys down and, you know, get a reaction, and then boom, you're gone. That's how that works for the nostalgia guy.
Gotcha. I always love the one where I always tell you the story of Bob and Diesel, you know, Kevin Nash, in the Rumble. And he picked Kevin up over the rope and just to let him know. One of the things I was shooting at one time, someone put a Kevin Nash doll on the lens to throw Bob off and upset him, which I was just like, really? You know, come on. Like, you know, I had to tell, like, that's just totally inappropriate, you know, from a cameraman to be doing that.
I'm not even familiar with the story.
Well, Bob is so humble that he was just laughed and whatever. And then he walked me over to the side. He said, Kevin, Kevin Nash, and this was God. He told me this story years ago.
Oh, Bob, I thought you said Bob Holly.
No, Bob Backlund.
Oh, I was like, okay.
No, Bob Backlund. I'm sorry. All right. Thank you for saying that because not everyone knows when I say Bob, it's Bob Backlund.
Okay.
But he talked about, and he said, you can go and look at the videotape, Kevin, if you want. But, you know, Kevin and some of the other guys were making fun of Bob for being old and backstage. And so when he did his run-in, they were building up Diesel or Kevin Nash. And so everyone who ran in the ring, Kevin just threw over the top rope in like 2 seconds because they were building him up as this new monster. So Bob, being Bob, and what you and Maria were talking about on our serious show today was about how unpredictable like those old guys were, and that's what made them fun.
Right.
Bob runs down full tilt, and he goes at Kevin, you know, and he said, he goes, you know, you can go look at the video. But I went at him and picked him up and put him over the rope just to let him know I can do whatever I want with you. And then he let him back in, obviously, and then he did the honors. And he said Kevin afterwards went up to him and said, you had me.
He did something similar in a little live event, house show as you called it, in Pittsfield, Massachusetts at the Boys Club in front of about 800 people, believe that. Have shows in front of that many people, Kev. Undertaker was on the show with the whole everything we had.
So weird.
Yeah. So, Kevin got pile driven that night. And I think something else might have happened that was kind of not something Kevin had any control over. So
by someone else?
By Bob.
Oh, by Bob.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He told me not much he could have done about it.
It's interesting. Well, when you see this running, I don't know if we have it here, Sean. And it was good, you know, Jared had was able to find it. No, this is where he beats
Oh,
him.
He dropped Bob yeah, no, really fast. Bad
yeah.
There.
And Bob, you know.
Not good.
Well, Bob crawled all the way back to the dressing room, and Kevin said he loved that. He helped put him over. I just think Vince was trying to replicate the Hogan and Sheik thing. You know, squash it yes. fast, but it didn't work. You know, it would have been better had Bob, you know what I mean? It would have been better had they made it a better match. But I don't think,
I disagree.
If they, so you think the squash was a good idea?
Yes. Yeah. They would not.
Do you remember?
They would not have had a good match, Kevin.
No. Okay. That's a different point.
Yeah.
Because there was no reaction.
That's why. That's
when he
that's
squashed
why
him, there was no reaction at all.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas with Hogan.
No, it was, the place went nuts.
I mean, you were there, so I have to take your word for it. I remember watching it and not seeing
it. Big time.
Huge. Yeah, I didn't see it on TV. It didn't seem it.
I think you're having selective
viewing. I remember watching it, and I remember not seeing the reaction. Then I also know, and I wish
but
Bob
there
would
wasn't. Here's
but
the
I wish
thing,
Bob
Cap,
would
there,
come in.
The thing is you couldn't have saw it wasn't on TV. It was a handheld
video. I have to take your word for
there
it.
There wasn't really – it was hard to tell, like – as much as you can on a regular broadcast. It was hard to really get.
But I think Bob was so built up, number one heel in wrestling at the time, and I don't think that was the way that I would have got. You could have gotten more mileage out of him, I think, personally, because Diesel, it didn't work. It didn't seem like it worked with him in that run.
It wasn't because of how that happened.
Okay, but I agree, because I think he wasn't ready to hold the title, but I think you had more mileage and more money to be made.
The thing is, Kev, it's not that. It's the business was where the business was. It doesn't matter who. You could have Brett or whoever had that spot wasn't going to draw any more than Kevin. Okay. That's just how it was. So people can say, oh, it didn't work. It worked good because – and I say this because – from when the time they did that to the time Kevin dropped the title, business was up. Business had picked up.
Really?
Hell yes.
Okay.
When we all first came, they were having they couldn't even fill the garden. They could fill it halfway, the garden. When they left, it was sold out.
I remember meeting with them to work for them, you know, my meeting with Vince, and I remember basically the place in Stanford was like run down, like paint chipping off the walls, and it was like 80s carpeting, and even his I met in his office, his decorations was like 80s, and it was just it was down. So yeah. It's a great story to even study companies and success and what you do to pull out, and you know it's
Kev, you know, there are things that could have been done way better with that though, obviously. You know, it just things were still done at the time where everything was still very cartoonish. And, you know, I remember Vince brought Kevin to some big, big corporate party Dick Ebersol was there, all these guys. And so he brings Kevin and he has Kev show up in a sleeveless tux. He looks like a freaking ringmaster from a fucking circus, you know? And this is back when, okay, everybody was drug tested drug tested, and guys were on shit had come off. So, you know, nobody looked as good as they did, you know, previous to that, if that makes any sense.
I gotcha. No, and I remember going to NAPTI, like, and Vince saw them all as big cartoon characters,
yes.
So he was still in that mindset to have them show up and look like.
Yeah.
But he evolved, and the business evolved, and they kept going. You know, still going.
What's up with Captain Lou?
Let's go back to, you know what? We were talking about Captain Lou playing piano. It was funny. I brought this up for Maria to see, and she said to me, oh, yeah, of course, this all Captain Lou was able to pull this up. This is from Tuesday Night Titans, and let's get some audio. Let's back up a little bit so we can hear what Lou's saying. Look at Lou's going to sit down.
He can't even sit down.
Vince commentating.
Look at him. That's 300 pounds. I wonder if the bench will support that. I wonder if the bench will support that weight.
Wait, where is Vince talking to?
From his desk.
Lord, do you think he knows which end of the piano he's to play?
I don't think so.
Look terrific, Mr. Albano.
China.
At least they
great.
Tuned it.
That was probably not one according of the best to Lou. Pieces. Oh, here we go now.
Gonna play the same one again, I think.
He's trying to get everything right. He's setting up the bench.
Yeah, it needs to be moved over just a little bit more.
He's gonna sit inside it.
It's, yeah.
Boy, is this thing out of tune?
See? Classic. Pause right there. Do you see? So, Lauren, do you see what he does? He just throws everyone off right away.
Yeah, he's already putting the heat on something else.
It's just amazing.
That's actually a good lesson.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I'm telling you, this guy is a genius. Keep going.
It's a rigged election.
Yeah.
Shut up and give the other man a chance. Shut up over there.
Pause. No, is anyone saying anything? We weren't even saying
wait
anything.
Wait until they stop to say shut up.
Again, Sean, philosophy behind that. What's the psychology?
Again, it's, you know, automatically putting the blame on something before you've even failed.
That's so genius. Yeah. All right, keep going.
This is too much. I don't think
I'm sorry.
Right. Come on. Right, Sean? You see what I'm saying about him? Look at him.
That's called a swerve.
That what? That he can actually do it?
Yeah, and you just know he's about ready to shit the bed, and then he's fucking a virtuoso.
Look at Lauren's face. Pianist.
I must say, Mr. Albano, that is.
Don't suck on that.
What are you looking at, dude? It's not like you got a haircut. And over there, you're jumping a guy like a little halfway looking at me. How do you like that? How do you like that, Junior?
Junior.
I always call him Junior. How do you like that, Junior?
Mr. Albano, I'm impressed. Really. I guess you really do know something about music. I guess there is some truth to your musical credentials, but how much truth is there, Mr. Albano, to this relationship that you have alleged in that you have made Cyndi Lauper probably one of the greatest stars in all of rock and roll today? I mean, is there any truth to that? How much truth is there to that? Obviously, there must be some truth.
It's got
to
be some truth.
Vinnie McMahon, Jr., I took Cyndi Lauper. She was nothing but a barroom. I'll call her a barroom lady. I don't like to use the word broad.
See, Lauren, class.
A barroom
nothing but
lady.
Class. He's saying barroom?
Took her out, projected her career, taught her how to conduct herself. I taught her the peg principle.
The peg.
Politeness, etiquette, and grooming.
That's right.
And she stated right on TV land, you know, when you go to dinner, most of your contracts are done over the table. So in other words, when you're out etiquette, in other words, when you're eating, you got to know where the butter dish is located, to your right or to your left, or you're in the wrong, you're grabbing the wrong guy's butter. I showed her how to do this. When you got a mouthful of food and someone asks you a question, you don't want to spit it on the floor, you want to learn how to conduct yourself.
Fence.
So I taught her etiquette. I taught her how to dress, because you can see by my attire, I'm the number one. What are you looking at, stupid? The number one man as far as etiquette, politeness, and grooming. I took this young lady. I made her what she is.
All right, Mr. Albano.
You know, Mr. Roddy Piper, and may I call you
so
Mr.
they're going to go over here. You can let it play. It's okay.
It's an honor and a pleasure. To be at
by the way, you know what I always love, Sean,
so
is the mutual respect for the WWF, WWF heels.
Wrestler,
like,
oh, yeah,
you know how it was?
I've never
like,
seen
look at
anything
this.
In your class. Personally,
look at him complimenting Roddy.
In your manager, Roddy.
Wait a second. If you to manage me, you see, when it comes right down to it, you really know a man's professional capabilities. When I take a look at a man like you, who has not only been the world's greatest manager, successful in history, but actually takes people like Cyndi Lauper, you sit there in your booth, but here is proof. Take Cyndi Lauper,
the eyes
the number one
poked out, Sean, or not?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
right now,
he's.
And you took her and managed her career from nothing. Is that correct? From nothing.
Took her from nothing, Roddy.
Here we go.
A superstar.
Listen to this, Lauren.
90 to 80 to 70 to 60 to 50 to 57 and a half to 40 to 30 to 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, minus 1, back to a 1. Made her.
See? I didn't know about the minus 1. That's new, Lauren.
It's important.
I produced, I wrote, and I directed the entire video for MTV. Was Captain Lou Albano.
Amazing that he had that
I
much talent,
lyrics,
Sean.
Wrote the music, the one whole bit, produced
typical.
It,
pause.
Directed
is there stuff. Any is there any doubt? We talked earlier tonight about you could be right, you could be wrong, but you can't be in doubt. Is there any doubt that he has any self-doubt right now? That are you feeling any?
No, of course not.
I mean, Roxy, do
none.
You? No.
None.
You would say confident. And by the way, shout out to Vince for the straight face.
He was the best at that.
Seriously.
If you didn't know what the real deal was, you just would just assume that he was just a flunky, you know,
yes!
straight man stooge, and he was the boss the whole time.
And
what do you mean? Sorry, what do you mean by the real deal?
Well, he owns and runs this whole operation, and yet he not only is he's acting like he's almost a victim in
he
some way.
He gets egg on his face.
Yeah, I mean, and then even when he turned heel, he was always on the precipice of just losing control of everything. When in fact there was no one who had more control over every single human being's life, all the way to the billions of his fans.
Always got egg on his face.
Yeah, but even these were the days where it really wasn't as public that he was the owner, and you just the fact that he never cracked up, and he played it straight. He literally is acting like Johnny Carson or Dick Cavett in this interview.
That's who he patterned himself after, obviously. Obviously with the format of the show.
See, Sean, when we see him again, I have to get in there and ask. I want to ask what was going through his head. Not with you guys because it was different, but with these guys because these guys were older than him.
Yeah.
They had been around longer. They were crazier. I mean,
and for him, a lot of those guys were guys he looked up to, you know, because he wasn't his dad yet.
Right.
I mean, as far as the boss, because he started, you know, down, not as low down, you know, from the, he didn't start setting the ring up, I don't think, but, you know, he paid his dues.
And did Gorilla, did he look up to and love Gorilla?
Of course. Well, I know the story about Gorilla. When
Gorilla Monsoon, by the way,
when he bought the WCW contract for TBS in 1985,
yeah,
from the Briscoes, he showed up with Gorilla Monsoon just in case shit went down because nobody messed with Gorilla.
Really, yes. Even at that age,
that's right,
because that was 84, and Gorilla
85.
Was 85, and yeah. Gorilla was still a badass.
Yeah, and just besides that, just out of respect,
right. But he was more familiar with the McMahons.
Yes.
Gorilla.
Yeah, he was made man. He was one of the guys, one of the top, you know, there was Gorilla Monsoon, Arnie Skoll, and basically, kind of that was it.
And Blassie, right, a little bit?
No, I'm talking about guys that owned a piece.
Oh, owned a piece.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Capital Sports.
Wow. Well, what have we learned? That Captain Lou can play the piano.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Right?
I'm genuinely impressed. Yeah.
I'm just on the... And Sean thinks it's because I'm just a super mark. I'm so fascinated by this man.
The industry was, and still not as much, but still has tons of people like that in it. Tons.
The most impressive part for me was when he could have kept playing. He just abruptly stops. He's like, no, I got you guys get it. He's like, he could have sat there and finished the song, but no, that's not what he's all about. It's all about the show.
Keeping us on our toes.
Sean, who's around, who's around today like that? That has that same, like we're talking about Backlund, that craziness. That's just who they are, but it's so entertaining.
I don't know. I'm not really around these guys, you know, to.
Yeah,
you're asking me questions. It's hard for me to answer.
Well, one of the things Marie was mentioning on her show, she's frustrated with the new crop because. What she liked, she said she liked about Brock was seeing him come in the ring. She's like, I was really under the impression that he just might snap and throw it, you know, and do whatever he wants.
And you know that he can do it, and that's what's missing. You don't know that about a lot of guys.
You know who else, and we've talked about this too, who has a little bit of that nice chip on his shoulder that sometimes, not entertainment-wise, personally annoys me, but entertainment-wise is awesome, is Ambrose.
Yes.
He's got that, snarl.
Yeah,
that is just he really looks like a punk who doesn't give a rat's ass. Maybe he does or he doesn't, but that's what he looks like. So I, you know.
Yeah.
Oh no way! Would it?
Nothing.
Okay. Is that a no comment?
That's basically yeah.
Okay. We know what that means.
Well.
Silence is golden.
I know.
Sometimes you don't know how to articulate yourself, Sean.
I know how to articulate myself.
No, he's fine.
Well.
He's fine. Yeah, he's fine. You know, if I do wish Jar was here, because he'd probably, especially because he's so, you know,
He's so new generation. So, yeah, he'd probably, he'd have a million.
And Jared probably, he had, probably didn't mean anything by that. You know, pretty solid. I'm sure that was a hell of a compliment.
That's a compliment in Jared world. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just, I want to let him know how
it comes
off. He
thinks it's pretty solid that his fiance said yes, that they're engaged, you know. So gotcha. He thought that that was solid.
I don't know if we've talked about that out loud.
Hmm. What's that? Right.
Jared's engaged. It's not a secret.
That's nice.
It's not?
Oh.
He's getting married.
Tonight of all nights, I really wanted to hear this song. Oh, wait, we didn't even go over Super Bowl plans. Roxy, what are you doing?
Not sure.
Sean?
I forgot the Super Bowl was coming up.
Really? Will you watch those for the commercials and the pop culture aspects?
Yes.
Okay.
Want to watch the other show?
Maybe since we have the same birthday, Roxy and I.
We found that out today.
He's so a Cancer, by the way.
We both are
absolutely.
July 13th.
Makes total sense.
What? Do we know times of birth?
I was early.
Give me your exact time. I'll do your birth chart.
I used to be able to
you
tell
have to tell
you.
Me right now.
We'll find out. That's so interesting.
Isn't that weird?
I wonder, will there be similarities? But like,
I've already noticed some.
Yeah, me too.
Well, like Ricky Williams said, you can, but you know, your environment.
Yeah.
Will affect, right?
I can print them both out and compare them because I have hers.
Yeah. Christian, what are you doing for the Super Bowl?
Well, everybody's welcome to join me at Freeze. I got the owner's
taking my
locked,
table.
Yeah. Because you're not going to be there. I was able to pull some strings. And
wow.
Believe me, I had to make a lot of calls.
Oh, wow.
Let's just say his name rhymes with Resident Rump. And no names. And yeah, you guys are all welcome.
I didn't think Freeze would do a Super Bowl party, but I guess they would
for
the Underground.
It's not usually what they do, but they figure people are not going to be in that early otherwise, so they might as well, you know. But again, you have to be approved. But
yeah.
If you know me, I know Kevin. There's a good chance that, you know, not Abby. It's good that she's not in town because they wouldn't let her. But other than that, everything would be fine.
I think it says Wahlberg couldn't make it to the Super Bowl this year, so he requested it specifically.
Kelly, you going out with civilian friends?
Nope.
You and Richie? No?
Nope.
What are you doing?
I'm going home to see my parents.
All right. That a girl. That's a great scam. Ashley, you're going to be commercials and halftime show. Right?
You'll watch
the pop culture? No?
But it's the fucking Patriots.
I admire that, though. No, I admire that. That's cool.
I mean, I'll check in, maybe, but I don't know. I got invited to the neighbors,
that's what I'm saying.
To your neighbors. So,
right.
If I do that, I'll watch
it. You know what, though? If you do that... Do you think Costa and Lisa would have fun or no? Because sometimes their neighbors are hit and miss here.
I mean, I don't think if they're not having fun, they can leave. I mean,
if I go,
I'll bring Lisa with me and she'll have fun with me.
Can they drink wine?
Lisa and Costa drink wine?
Yeah, he can.
Yeah, he can. There'll be lots of food, I'm sure.
Need to get Lisa on the...
Yeah?
Yeah. She should be able to enjoy herself, too.
Yeah, you know what?
You know?
Actually, you're right.
And the alcohol turns to sugar.
No,
it's not
you can't
a good
do,
thing.
No, it's not a good mix.
But come on, you know, I mean, she should be, if she chooses.
Something to talk about. Lauren LaGrasso.
Kev.
Are you going to watch the game anywhere?
Yeah, well, I'm going to have a writing session, so I might catch it later.
Great scam.
Yeah, great scam. Gotta keep scamming
Julia,
on Sunday.
Why are you shaking your head?
I'm going to watch the Super Bowl later. What does
well,
that even mean?
Because I need
you,
to watch
Julia.
It for show prep. But, you know, I got to
put
the
right. He's doing the halftime show.
I think
Lady Gaga.
Gaga. And AfterBuzz is going to do an after show for the Super Bowl. So I think
they're also doing a viewing party.
They're doing a viewing party. So there you go. That's where you'll be, Juliet, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm super excited. The first ever football game I've ever seen was actually when I was in Boston and we won the Super Bowl. So not last year, but the year before that.
You have to watch it then
because cool.
You're
I was
set.
There.
Yeah.
Roxy and I were there.
I know you were there. Well, I watched it for the first time on a big TV, and it was a great cultural experience that I got to witness for the first time.
Not as cool as Kevin Maria taking you to the Super Bowl. That was pretty sweet.
That was kind of sweet.
Sorry. They like you better, Roxy. It's obvious.
They didn't know where
I was. Anything for you?
I'm going to watch it with my mom, but I don't usually watch the Super Bowl, but I'm going to watch Lady Gaga.
Well, Raylan,
yes.
You're very pretty.
Thank
true
you about her.
But I want to make a 7-layer dip. That's what I said I want to do. Seven-layer dip.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Listen,
so.
Wherever Michael is, you know, I hope Jesus can help him with his health, get him back. And I still think Roxy.
He's in the chat, so he can't be too far.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, let Michael know that we're going to maybe after the Super Bowl, we'll let Jesus take the wheel.
Oh, not before?
No, I want to. I think I'll handle my business until then.
You don't think Jesus would make the Patriots win?
No, but I don't know if Jesus wants me going to, like, the DirecTV party, all the other parties, and like getting.
You don't know though.
Drinking hard
Jesus
again.
Mike.
As long as you do it in moderation.
Jesus kind of looks like a partier.
Fucked
he's
up
got
in
like
moderation,
hippie
Kev.
Hair.
Supposedly he was.
Yeah,
that's what they say, right?
And he's a Jew, so he can't be too bad of a guy.
He never wore shoes anywhere. That guy knows how to party.
Oh, not
yes,
the flip flop thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the flip flops. Yeah, don't get me going on flip flops.
Yeah.
I love them. They're very comfortable, mind you. But listen,
it just sends the wrong message.
It's yeah. You know what? You see someone
projecting a really bad image.
Yeah, flip flops in the workplace, or you just know that's not someone who's.
Look at Jesus flip
flops. Oh, the Jesus flip flops.
Hey, look at that. Let him take the lead.
You guys on hey Thursday, Sean. I think we're gonna have a. We're either going to have a reality star or we're going to have, or Sean, you don't know this, but you may have to take the helm.
Take the wheel.
On Thursday night. Okay. So you be prepared to, well, maybe we'll let you off the hook. You won't have to talk wrestling. You can just talk about whatever you want.
All right.
Why doesn't he have to talk wrestling?
He doesn't have, I mean, if he wants to, he can, but he does that every week. I mean, you know, he's Xbox 1, 2, 3, 60.
I'm going to give y'all a break from that shit.
I love learning about it, though. It's like learning from it from the king of wrestling.
From the guy who was there.
Yeah.
He was there, you guys. Yeah, we'll be back. We'll talk Super Bowl, et cetera, et cetera. Be interesting to see what happens next Sunday. But Thursday will be your night. And even, Sean, if you're not drinking, make sure everyone else does drink because Friday will still be for the men.
Sure.
Even more so. And Sunday is, you know, you're getting a pretty much a long weekend. Super Bowl, national holiday, I think, these days. All right, you guys. Until then, it's the Tomorrow Show. And do your best, please, to make it a better tomorrow.
For guest bookings, questions, or comments, you can email us at info@thetomorrowshow.com. Be sure to follow us on social media and tell a friend about the show. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth. Your voice of tomorrow, wishing you a better one.